passage in the second chapter of the Infinite Way, which is so outstanding that Joel used it at the beginning of every book since 1949. Illumination dissolves all material ties. As I recall, Joel mentioned that this passage was not something that he sat down to write and to think up, but rather it was given to him within. And so he merely sat down, listened, and recorded that which was given to him. He wrote it down. Illumination dissolves all material ties. Now you're going to see a great importance in this particular phrase. It is the essence of the Christ message and the Infinite Way. It is not a coincidence that throughout the entire New Testament, not once do you see Jesus treating a diseased body. Not once. Never would he acknowledge that such a body could exist. He was revealing that there is no mortal body to be treated, but rather that all that can exist in reality is that which is the activity of divine mind, maintaining its own perfect formation. And so even if you tried, you would find it impossible to change your perfect self to something else. There is no power to change the perfect formations of divine mind. And so there was no need to treat diseased bodies because they cannot exist except as images on TV. You see, the TV of the cosmic mind works through the wires of your five senses. Those are the incoming wires that bring in this electrical appearance that eventually becomes the problem. Jesus wouldn't treat it. Rather, he never left divine mind. He rested in the divine mind, letting it manifest its own formation. And this perhaps is the meaning of illumination dissolves all material ties. You won't find Christ in a body of flesh. And the light never becomes anything other than itself. It is always the light. It's wise to remember the purpose of the Transfiguration. Perfect light becomes visible to mankind as a form called Jesus. But perfect light is what it always is. It never stops being perfect light. And so when you take that form called Jesus and try to destroy it, you're destroying the television image. You cannot destroy the light. It sends forth another form in 3 days. Now that light revealed is the light of us. We are that light. And this awareness removes the need for us to preserve, to aggrandize the human form. You can't stop having a human form. There's nothing you can do about it. As long as you are the light, a human form will appear. Now, the images on TV don't decide when to be born and when to die. They just come on and they go off. Mankind comes on and goes off. But the light always is there and always contains the fullness, the complete storehouse of divine gifts. All the qualities of God are in your light. When you accept yourself to be this light, you are dissolving material ties. These material ties are not only the form in which you walk, but also the beliefs of that form and the relationships of that form. If you look out from the eyes of that form, you will never see reality. You will only see people who someday will die. You will only see people who are well today or sick tomorrow or vice versa. As long as you're living out of the form and not out of the light, your experience is going to be a succession of material ties, of limitations, of lacks, of changes of matter. But when you accept yourself to be light, because something within you permits you to do that, the light isn't concerned about a form. The light isn't concerned about what mortal man can do. The light isn't concerned about tomorrow's meal, or a bulging waistline, or bad digestion. As long as you're concerned about these things, you're still saying, I am not the light. I am the form. And you may think, well, suppose I drop my concern about the form, who's going to be concerned about it? Who's going to take care of it? Who's going to dress it? Who's going to feed it? And the answer is I. I, which am the light, am the intelligence of the universe. I don't make mistakes. All that I do is the perfect expression of the perfect infinite mind. And this I of your being, released by your stepping out of the belief in form, takes you into grace. There will never be grace in a form. Grace can never express in a body of flesh. Illumination doesn't come to a mortal. Illumination is the result of the mortal stepping aside. You're never an illumined human being. You're illumined when you have succeeded in releasing the belief that you are the human being. Illumination dissolves all material time. And there goes the relationships which we set up as mind concepts and which tie us into a certain pattern of activities and thoughts and beliefs and commitments. You might succeed in getting rid of the notion that you're a form But your child is a form, and you're going to worry about that form. But the light of your being and the light of your child are one and the same. Now, what happens to all these forms if we live in the knowledge that I am the light? I go before you to make the crooked places straight. Do you believe that? I perform that which you are appointed to do. Do you believe that? Do you believe there is an I, an invisible intelligence, an invisible power, an invisible presence that actually can run its life as you? Better than your human sense can do? It not only can, but who's going to be running your life 50 years from now if it isn't? Who ran your life 100 years ago if it didn't? Do you see the sense of duality we are still clinging to? The personal me that is still there, afraid to let go, afraid to be the light, for fear that something out in my daily life won't get done the way it should. Your daily life is the television image. And if it gets done the way you think it should or doesn't get done, makes no difference in your life, only in your false sense of life. There's that long expanse of spiritual water waiting for you to walk upon it. If you cannot trust the light of God to be the light of your being, to perfect all that concerns itself where you stand, then how can you worship the Father in spirit and in truth? How can Christ be born in your consciousness? Illumination is the acceptance that divine light is your being. And in the acceptance, you make the extra step. You cannot be that divine light and also a material being. You cannot be spirit and. For there is no God and anything. The light that you are is the light of God. And there must come a moment when the personal sense of you is absent. Totally absent. The personal sense is dead. And all that stands there is the perfect, eternal light, which is called the Son of God. Then are you reborn. Then there's no concern about taking up the sword to go forth and do battle with the other mortals of this world while they are striving on television, each with the other under the assumption that the other is there, the divine light of love, of perfection in all things, is gracing and prospering all that appears in the world as you, without effort. The added things are there. The light comes forth. There are no needs unfulfilled in spirit. There's no requirement that you point the way and say, Spirit, this is next on the list, or that. All moves flawlessly and smoothly in the invisible, appearing in its proper sequence in the visible as needed. And unless we're living this way, we have not caught the essence of the glory that lies ahead for each of us merely to accept. Life isn't supposed to be a constant stepping from one form of jeopardy to another. The fulfillment of the light is ever present. Is there a human mind there? Then you're not experiencing it. Is there a human body there? Then you have no light coming forth to form itself as the living grace. Are you still looking at the world with five senses and believing what you see? Then you are denying the invisible perfection, which is ever present everywhere. You are not translating the visible imperfection into the invisible reality of God, ever present. You are not praying without ceasing. You are not being meek unto the one mind. You are not trusting in your own self. But now as we know ourselves to be the light and know that only light exists, that it is never at odds with itself, it is never less here than there, its arm is never shortened, it is ever perfection everywhere. We have one infinite perfect world, unseen by human eyes, and yet it is the only presence here. There is no matter in it. There is no mortal in it. There is only pure life, expressing pure spiritual being, and that is I. Now, where are the material ties that we have to consider? Isn't spirit maintaining your heartbeat at this moment? You're having nothing to do with it. Your pulse is beating. The cells of your body are performing. What had you to do with it? And that is only the imitation of the cosmic mind. Think how perfect the light body must be. If you reach this acceptance, you can cross out of your mind the belief that there is any material defect that can ever happen to you, because there is no material you there which can in any way be defective. Now, at this particular moment, you may not particularly be able to do this, but in a moment when you think not, there will steal into your awareness the realization that you are the perfect love. That you have no body that can decay. And that the perfect light of your being is misperceived by the world, which calls it your physical form. You will know that this heaven of the Father, this perfect kingdom, this divine consciousness, misperceived by human sense, appears as the material forms. But the appearance is but an appearance, existing only in the misperception. It isn't there in reality. All the heartbeats, all the lungs gasping for air, they're not there. We are in a spiritual universe. Heart attacks only occur in the false images. Brain tumors occur in the false images. Malignancies occur in the false images. They do not occur in the spiritual reality, which is here without opposite. The disasters, the lacks, the limitations, the fears, the terrors, all of these are part of the TV image. When you are that light, you are dissolved from these material terrors. Time. Four simple words. Illumination dissolves material ties. And illumination is the realization that I am the light of the Father. Now let the light shine forth as the reality of being, showing the immaterial universe, the universe of God's perfection in all things. Where nothing is lacking or limited or needed that isn't there. That is the only universe there is. This illumination binds men together with the golden chains of spiritual understanding. If I do not see you as the light, I misperceive you. And I misperceive you because I misperceive me. As the light, we have between us the invisible golden chain of understanding. This is the natural state of things in spiritual living. All there is of you is pure divine light. And this before me is the television image formed about that divine light. Shall I sow to your flesh, to your image, or to your spiritual self? Shall you sow to the image of yourself or the reality of you? And you find now, as you dwell more on the light of your being and less on the flesh, more on the reality instead of the imitation image of it, that you are loosing him and letting him go. The image, the mortal man, the material man. You are releasing him. You are stepping out of that image tomb. And while you're doing it, you're improving the image. Because it cannot exist in fear when you know yourself to be the light. The golden chain of your understanding becomes your love for all those around you. All you can see is their light. You can see the image is in the light, but you see the image in the light. The light is what you are aware of. And you are also aware of the rope that appears to be something else. You have no sinners to reform in the light. You have no earthlings to heal. You have no diseased bodies to treat. You have no dying people. You have no poor to enrich. You are bearing witness to the truth of the invisible, ever-present, infinite light of God, which bathes this heaven, which men call earth. And that is why you are bound, especially to those who have the same insight as you. You find an instant rapport there. It's something you don't even control. The rapport just springs right up. When two walk in the light and know it, they have this golden chain of understanding. You have probably witnessed that with those who walk in your spiritual household. There is the feeling that there's nothing between us that requires the caution of people who feel that we have something one another wants. We can be what we are. We can relax. We don't have to erect the false wall of protection between us. We recognize without effort and without thought that one life, that one light, that one perfect understanding, that all is being what it must and ever will be. Nothing can enter this consciousness to defile it. No material law, no karmic law, no human power, no physical or mental power. The light is independent of everything unlike itself. And all that is unlike itself is the imitation image, which men call this world. We are living in the kingdom of God. And when you say, I'm going to pray without ceasing, you're saying, I am living in the kingdom of God. They mean precisely the same. To live in the kingdom and to pray without ceasing are synonymous. Your expansion of consciousness, then, is the constant conscious awareness that I am living now in the kingdom of God as the light of God. And that is constant prayer. There's nothing to judge. So you're in a state of righteous judgment at all times. The golden chains of understanding are the righteousness of the light of your own being. If you find yourself condemning, fearing, planning, you have taken yourself out of the perfect grace of the divine light. You have lost your confidence in it. You have returned to the mortal consciousness that insists on perpetuating a personal me. And by finitizing, you lose the infinite. It would be marvelous for anyone on this earth to get a glimpse of that impersonal me. the one who never need fear what mortal man can do to me or mortal circumstance. He who is independent of a fleshly body, once having tasted this living water, truth, we find that more and more we can look out at the mortal scene and see how obsolescent it really has become in our new consciousness. Like looking at an old magazine. And we can begin to glimpse the glory that was revealed on this earth of an invisible, infinite universe present where we stand. Where there's no death on a highway. No poverty. No black and white threatening each other with death. This is the reality behind the images. Have we the right to turn away from it for a second? So these words were given to Joel. They could become a miniature Bible all by themselves. The golden chains of understanding. Wouldn't it be marvelous if everyone we know had that understanding about us? It certainly would. Why then can we not give them that understanding? Whoever they are, whatever they appear to be doing, rob them of their mortality by recognizing the immortality that stands there, and you take the sting out of every so-called evil deed on this earth. How can there be evil when God is all? So we have the great revelation by Jesus, by Buddha, by Lao Tzu, that evil is unreal. Unreal. And we have mankind laboring to change that unreality and to improve it. When all the time we have the opportunity to live in the reality where there's nothing that needs changing. You cannot change the unreal and make it real. By changing the unreal, that doesn't give you reality. By improving humanhood, that doesn't bring you into spirituality. By improving mortality, that doesn't bring you into immortality. You see, it's the stepping out of what isn't, not improving it. That perpetuates false personal sense. We step out of what isn't. We step out of unreality. Have nothing to do with it. We live in reality. And then we have nothing to change, nothing to improve. And every time you're tempted to improve something, be sure of this. The only thing you can improve is unreality. You can never improve reality. It is perfect. And that is all there is. When you are in this state of the illumined self, illumination acknowledges only the leadership of the Christ. You see how the mortal mind is cast out the window? You can't be a leader, and I can't be a leader. We have no leaders. Jesus was not a leader. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter is the leader. acknowledges only the leadership of the Comforter within, the Christ within. And if we're not living in that leadership, we're not living as the light in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter that there's only a handful that are going to stand and try to live this way. It's our function to be among that handful. There might only be 12 in an entire generation. Let us be that 12. The leadership of the Christ within you is the way to live in the kingdom of God on earth. There we have no ritual and no rule, only divine, impersonal, universal love. Now that impersonal love releases you from the human sense of love. But it does it in such a way that you recognize the impersonal Christ everywhere so that you're not decoyed into trying to make the universal Christ healthy and happy and not so poor. Instead of trying to improve the lie, you recognize the truth and let the truth do its own work. That's part of the nature of illumination. We have no other worship than the inner flame ever lit at the shrine of spirit. Your spirit, not a spirit external to you, the inner flame lit at the shrine of the spirit which you are. That's where we live. We're in a sense saying, the Father liveth my life, thou seest me, thou seest him that sent me. The Father works and I work hitherto. There's no personal self there, you see. There's only God being God, and the world sees you. There's only God being God, and the world sees Jesus. There's God being God, and the world sees Joel Goldsmith. God being God, and the world sees Buddha. Always it's God being, and the form is the human concept of what God is being. Until so pure is the form that thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me. So free of the beliefs that anything in this universe can exist that is unlike God. Now these are the words of a divine consciousness speaking, but you can't take the words and go back and manufacture that consciousness. Someday they have to come out of you, and they'll be phrased differently than this. They won't say the exact same thing, but they'll speak through you as deeds, as actions, as the Word made flesh. The activity of Christ in consciousness appears outwardly as these words, but that activity of Christ in your consciousness appears outwardly as your eternal life, spinning out completely in a total unfoldment of divinity from within, instead of the limited five-sense world. Are we still clinging to that human mind? the TV screen? Or are we willing to live on infinite TV and let the pictures that come forth be God's pictures on this earth? You can see how all the ritual and all the worship and all the creed and all the rite and all of the forms are completely ignorant of the inner light. And they are perpetuating the TV image of good and evil, of life and death, of good and bad, of bad health and good health, of youth and age, all out of the ignorance that the light of God is the substance of every form. Now this union is the free state of spiritual brotherhood. Nobody's pointing a gun at us. Our union is first a union within ourselves, which recognizes no end and no beginning, and brings us into a union with those of a like level of consciousness, knowingly, and with those of an unlike level of consciousness, unknowingly. No one is excluded from this union. Those who are at your level knowingly are in this union, but you are one with all, whether they know it or not. There is no one on this universe who is not one with you in your illumined consciousness. No one is excluded. They cannot be, because the light of your being is infinite and embraces all within that infinity. If you find yourself excluding one person anywhere from the recognition of the perfect light of being, one animal, one vegetable, one mineral, one anything, one condition, then you have shortened the arm of the light. You see, this isn't you anymore as a personal being. This is the light living itself where you appear. This is Christ. And even though the world sees a finite physical image, which they saw of Jesus, this is Christ living as you. This is your goal. This is the way of translation of earth to heaven, where you stand. This is the divine TV channel. More and more you say, what do I do? If Christ lives my life, what do I do? There is no I to do anything. There's only Christ. Let Christ do. And take your leadership from the Christ. Suppose at this minute, there was no personal you where you sit. None. Only pure light. This would be the truth. There would be nothing there but light. There would be no concern of the light about the next 5 minutes or the next hour or tonight. The light isn't hungry. The light isn't thirsty. The light isn't going anywhere, it's already there. capture that glory of being that light which is everywhere now, fulfilled forever. And you're finding the meaning of Christ where you stand. This invisible light could project an image to the moon in 5 minutes if necessary. It could project a physical you into the future 5,000 years from this moment, if necessary, and rewrite on target. It could project you backwards into time, if necessary. This Christ light of your being is in full command of the infinite. It has total dominion. If there is a single shadow of you beside this Christ light, you've lost. The perfect diamond reflects its light from within itself, and all of that light from within comes forth and makes it what is called a perfect diamond. The perfect light of your being coming forth from within brings the full infinite richness into play. And this is our dominion over the body, over the world, over the falsities, over all of the negatives. When Washington crossed the Delaware, when Lindbergh flew the ocean, when the astronauts went to the moon, this was not happening in the universe of God. This was the imitation image in men's minds about something else. That something else is where you must live. In the light behind the image. And then what happens in the image will conform to the pattern of the invisible light. And you're taking it out of the good and the evil, out of chance, out of changes in weather, out of changes in health, out of advancing old age. You're living in the pattern of the perfect light. And what comes forth from it will always bear the imprint of the sweet presence of the Father. How does Joel put it? You feel as if there's a hand in yours and a face smiling over your shoulder. You're not alone, and you know it. Because I can never leave you, and I am the light of your being. The only restraint is the discipline of the soul. A 9-year-old asked me yesterday, what is the soul in relationship to divine consciousness? You could say they're synonymous, but they're not. She had a little milk bottle in her hand, and I told her that the bottle was divine consciousness, and the place where the milk came out was the soul. She got the idea. that divine consciousness pours through the soul. And when divine consciousness is pouring through the soul, then the pattern of divine thought is going to be manifest where you stand. We've left the realm of mind, human mind. We've left the realm of mental images. We're in the images of the soul now. And divine consciousness pouring through ever, infinitely pouring its love and truth, these must now outpicture as the true, the real. Here is where you find freedom, tranquility, fulfillment, as the divine images of soul pour forth as you. Yes, you're still an image, but now you're the divine image. Not the cosmic lie image called the mortal. The only restraint is the discipline of the soul. The soul is expressing perfect divinity, translating it into light which will move through you, outpicturing itself as form. You're in an infinite computer, and it is all you. We all have this built-in grace, this one grace functions as all. Now take another look at every defect that you think is in your life and recognize that it does not exist in divine consciousness flowing through your soul into invisible patterns of divine idea. There is no place there where a defect exists. But if there is one out here, or two or three, something is happening in between the invisible and the visible. The reality of you is without defect. The appearance of you may be with defect. Something in between has caused that distortion. That something in between is your consciousness. Your consciousness of the divine light of your soul, or your consciousness of the cosmic television of this world through your senses, is determining whether or not a defect or many defects appear out here. Your consciousness is externalizing as defect or lack of it. You're either tuned to your soul or you're tuned to this world. You're either living in the one mind or you're living through the five senses. You are making the pictures that are out here. You are making the weather. You are making all that appears on this earth for you. This is your world or it is your heaven. And where your consciousness is anchored will determine whether it is your world or your heaven. In your illumination, it is your heaven. In your world consciousness, it becomes this world. All of the work is done in your very being. No one can do it out here for you. No text has ever been written that will do it for you. Not even the Bible. Your consciousness is the world or heaven. choose you? Heaven or this world? In your consciousness. No one has more opportunity than another for the reality of God to express in them. No one. If you think with a conceptual mind that looks out and thinks in terms of what it knows, you might say this one has more opportunities than that one. But look past the forms. Look at the light and you'll see that only Christ is present. So to the Christ, not to the images. And you will see that Christ will rise in your consciousness, dispelling the illusion of defects in you of any nature. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You shall know the truth. When the Christ of you is released, it knows the truth which sets you free from the defects. So I think we have this chapter pretty well in hand for the moment. It's only a chapter, remember. A few words given by grace to those who are open to the living word of the living Father within themselves. The rest of the message must come within you as you let the Christ write the script of your daily life. He ends this with, therefore we know liberty without license. We are a united universe without physical limits. Without physical limits. We don't even stop at the moon. There is no physical universe, you see. That's why we have no physical limits. A divine service to God without ceremony or creed. And then this great thought. The illumined walk without fear by grace. Without fear. Of course. All you can fear is a TV image. You cannot fear reality. You can only fear that which is unreal. Remember that. You can only fear what is unreal, because reality is always love and harmony. And if you fear something, you are not fearing love and harmony, you are fearing their opposite. But the opposite is unreal. Shall you fear that which is unreal? The illumined do not fear that which is unreal. They walk without fear, by grace. In the preparation for the descent of grace into consciousness, you are eliminating the possibility of a future with fear. Now these glorious words of Joel's are just the words of a messenger. In this chapter, he points out very emphatically something that will always come home to you in many ways. The world has personalized the messenger and thus has lost the Christ. The world has sought through Jesus to find God. You can't. Unless Jesus goes away, the Comforter will not come unto you. You won't find God through Jesus, and Jesus was the one who told us so. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And carried into your living, this means you must not personalize the messenger. The living Christ, invisible, is the real messenger.